Welcome to the Astrology Rocks podcast for the week of May 14, 2012, brought to you by Sastrology. I'm Michelle Suzanne, author of your weekly forecast at Sastrology. You'll also find me at starstruckastrology.org. I'm very happy to be co-hosting this podcast with my friend and colleague, Jeffrey Kishner, editor and publisher of Sastrology. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. So let's jump right into the astrological events for this week of May 14. As we talked about in the past, Venus entered Gemini at the beginning of April, and on Tuesday, she is going to station or stop, apparently, her motion in the sky moving forward and start moving backwards until near the end of June. She's stopping at 23 degrees Gemini, and she's going to move backwards until she hits 7 Gemini. And then when she moves forward, she's not going to enter Cancer until the second week of August. So this is quite a long stay in one sign for Venus, as typically she's, you know, one of the faster-moving planets. So for our listeners who are not very familiar with this, can you first explain what Venus retrograde means, and then we can get into her placement in Gemini?
Absolutely. So Venus is the planet that rules all of our relationships, especially the romantic kind. So love is very much a part of Venus's domain, but she's also involved with our personal finances, with tastes and pleasures and our values and aesthetics, because Venus rules beauty as well. So now that Venus is traveling retrograde, those areas of life, there are a few rules, just a little like Mercury retrograde. There are a couple of Venus retrograde rules. One of them is, in terms of your relationships, people, if you're in a good, solid, healthy relationship, there's really not too much going on that's going to rock your world, but this is your chance to do a little fine-tuning, if you like, just to get things going from good to great. Another Venus retrograde rule, Jeff, is that you can go ahead and date that brand new person if you have met someone, but do understand that by the time that Venus resumes her forward motion, which is at the end of June, the fizz may have gone out a little bit. You may not be as attracted, as interested. So bear in mind that it might be a very enjoyable six-week fling, and just let it be that. But if you're going for something a little longer term, that's a much dicier proposition when Venus is retrograde. Aesthetics. Not a good time to try that brand new platinum hairstyle that you've always been dying to do. Just wait until Venus is forward again, end of June, and then go out and do something wild and crazy if you've got to do it. But right now, I think you'll be a little devastated by the results. Those are my general rules on Venus retrograde. Jeff?
So it sounds like part of what you're saying is for starting new things that are Venus-like, like working on beautification or starting relationships, things may not necessarily pan out.
Yeah, they may not go according to your desires and preferences. So if you can live with that, then rock on. But if you're somebody that knows definitely what they desire and you have a very specific outcome in mind, Venus retrograde may thwart some of that. So just proceed with caution.
Uh-huh. So what do we do? Just not get a haircut?
Actually, yes, we can still get a haircut. But the idea is return to the person that you know, takes great care of your hair, and go stick with the same haircut for now. If you need to reduce a few inches, I'm not talking from your waistline, a few inches of locks of hair, then keep it the same. But if you're going for a buzz cut, or ladies, you've decided now's the time to cut your long tresses and go chin length or shorter, you may feel a little dismayed. I know from personal experience, Jeff, I once did a very foolish thing and got my hair cut with Venus retrograde in the sign of Leo, which rules hair. So that was really dumb of me to do. But I think I did it so that I could report back to our listeners that it was a terrible haircut.
Yes.
It was awful.
Astrologers have to learn from experience.
Yes, we do. So we go out and do the silly things so that you guys don't have to. I think a general haircut is okay, Jeff, because we're in Gemini, which isn't about hair. But I wouldn't go for the big old color change or anything like that right now.
Okay. So partly this is about Venus sort of dipping her toes into the past.
Yes.
And it's more of a time to look backwards at how we have, you know, taken care of our own beauty needs or our own relationship skills or looking at our own past values and preferences, maybe taking stock of our wardrobe,
yeah,
whatever, yeah. And looking at, okay, how do I feel about myself?
That's great.
And what no longer fits with where I want to be going forward once Venus moves direct at the end of June? You know,
that's a great way to use the Venus retrograde time. There's one more thing we need to mention about Venus, and that's the money angle. Lots of people have been asking, when am I getting my money? When am I getting this? When am I getting that? You know, there's a little bit of a slowdown for personal finances now. So people that are self-employed, sometimes that contract or that check that you're waiting from a client gets delayed a little bit. So expect some of that. And it's a good idea for everybody in general to revisit your budget and see what works and see what really doesn't work and get it together. That's another great use of Venus retrograde.
If I can clarify that point, I was talking to one of my former teachers about that many years ago, and he was saying, if money from way long ago is still past due to you, you may be surprised to get that check during Venus retrograde because it's money from the past.
Yay!
Right. But perhaps if you're like performing services during Venus retrograde, you may not expect a quick payment.
That's true.
Right?
Yes.
And I actually remember one time actually getting a check, like a pleasant surprise during a Venus retrograde period.
Oh, I like that. That's a good story.
To touch on relationships, Venus retrograde is often about, you know, reassessing how we approach love and romance. You know, what baggage have we been carrying that prevents us from, you know, experiencing the kind of emotional nourishment that we can hope to get from relationships? You know, maybe we're projecting too much onto a partner to fulfill certain needs, or, you know, we're too focused on faking certain part of ourselves in order to attract, and hence getting the wrong type of person, or, you know, our own self-esteem problems are resulting in getting people who treat us like crap. You know, there are many ways to look at, you know, how do we attract, and, you know, what is our part to play in that. And with Venus retrograde, it's a good time to reassess those things and kind of pull in a bit to go introspective.
It's a very valid point. And since I heard you use the word attract, that's such an appropriate Venus word, because Venus is very magnetic energy. And this is the energy that we call on when we're in a receiving mode, when we are open to receiving, whether it is love or something of a material nature. So actually using this Venus retrograde time to really take stock of whether or not you receive well, even a simple, you know, compliment. Are you the person that just says thank you, or do you sort of apologize, say, oh, gee, shucks, no, not really, blah, blah, blah. That's a sign that you're not great at receiving. And this Venus retrograde period is a really useful time to help us all work on our ability to just open up and receive all the goodness that we want, but we seem to thwart ourselves from getting. Mm-hmm.
So to get down into brass tacks, you know, being that Venus is in Gemini, it would seem that the themes that we are dealing with are most focused on, you know, the sharing of ideas and our thoughts. I'm wondering if you can expand on, you know, how this particular retrograde will manifest with Venus moving through the sign of the twins.
Yeah, well, Gemini is all about, as you said, sharing ideas, gathering information. Gemini, if you've ever had conversations with Geminis, they tend to be very candid. They like to just open up and go. They like to chat. And sometimes they're very candid. It's quite natural for Gemini people to just talk and disclose all kinds of personal things, whether you've known them for 5 years or 5 minutes. So there's a lot of potential here for self-disclosure as we review our relationships through Venus retrograde. This is also a time to sort of really clue into what ideas turn you on. You know, Gemini loves ideas. Gemini is also mobile. There's transportation. You know, whether it's just sort of commuting, short length commutes, it's the mobility of Gemini. It's a mutable sign, so it likes to be on the move. So getting around, being sociable is a good potential for Venus retrograde. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of love of gadgets here too, wouldn't you say, Jeff? We love our Gemini ruled toys, electronics. So I do have a little bit of a concern, and you can confirm or deny whether I'm barking up the wrong tree here, Jeff. It's just, I wonder if there's a slight feel of Mercury retrograde when we turn on our computers.
Possibly. I think of it as becoming maybe so enamored with gadgets that we don't think through the consequences of maybe purchasing things that we don't need right now.
Right.
And I'm thinking of two things with Venus. One is the attraction to it, you know, whether it's shiny or glossy or it'll look good with our purses. Not that I have a purse. And also, you know, that Venus is often about just objects, you know, beautiful things. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the... You know, it's funny we're talking about this because, you know, Venus is in Gemini now going direct. And yesterday I made an impulse purchase of a Kindle.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, is sort of perfect timing. And I'm, now that we're talking, I'm glad that I purchased it before the retrograde.
Yes, that was good.
But, you know, Venus in Gemini is, like, totally, like, love of reading and writing.
Yes. The pleasure of discussing what you're reading, and you know, I also think of swaps during Venus retrograde. It's such a great time to swap it up and say I'm done with this book or with this article of clothing. Let's all get together and do a swap, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to minimize your personal expenses and to get something very groovy out of it.
You know, while you were talking earlier, I was thinking of Bridget Jones's Diary.
Yes.
You know, this is kind of like the perfect transit for, like, you know, you have a boyfriend and a boyfriend from your past comes up and you have to decide, because this is Gemini, it's the sign of the twins, it's duality, it's,
yeah,
you know, being distracted. So it may not be totally surprising if, you know, a lover from long ago or not so long ago comes back into your life, or, you know, maybe you're even single and two of them show up, and, you know, you're kind of thrown a little bit off center and are kind of dialoguing within yourself or with a best friend about the qualities of both and who would be better and should I leave this guy for my ex or what have you. So, you know, I think as always with Venus retrograde, it's not really the best time to make these decisions.
Yeah, that's a pretty major decision.
Yeah, until Venus is well into her direct motion, which means I wouldn't do it, you know, on the day that Venus goes direct. You know, she's going to be hanging out on the seventh degree for like a week.
True.
So maybe early August, if after a lot of deliberating, you're still feeling strongly about making a change, that might be a time to do it when you're less likely to feel regret.
That's a great point. You know what's interesting about the idea of past loves coming back on the radar during Venus retrograde? Because actually that is a very typical feature of it. But it's cool to note that while Venus is still retrograde in Gemini, Jupiter is going to set up camp there, right? And Jupiter hasn't been in the sign of Gemini for 12 years. So think back 12 years ago, those of you that are old enough to have had lovers 12 years ago, and you may find that unresolved business from someone 12 years ago comes back, and this is your chance to either just make peace with it and make it good. If it didn't finish well, there could be a resolution in the sense of just close that chapter peacefully, or you can spark it up again, as Jeff says.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that is specific to this retrograde is, you know, as I look at the chart for that moment, to correct what we said earlier, it looks like Venus stationing at 24 degrees and 0 minutes. They're like 60 minutes in a degree. And this is making a trine to Saturn retrograde in Libra at 24 degrees and 4 minutes. So this is a very, very, very tight trine. And, you know, we've already been talking about the past quite a bit. When we bring Saturn into it, you know, it just adds a lot more seriousness to the matter, because Saturn the past. It's the karmic consequences of past actions. It's weighing seriously, especially in Libra, the sign of the scales, about our decisions. So things might feel a little more heavy and deliberate than we would feel otherwise. You know, Gemini is a light sign, but when we have Saturn in Libra, even with the harmonious aspect, it definitely makes things feel like our decisions are going to have a certain degree of permanency, or that we can't just shoulder off or shrug off things that might, the fallout that might occur from our decisions, because they may come back to us and bite us far into the future with Saturn there.
Very good point.
That's why you have me, Michelle.
That's why.
Okay, I think we've gone on long enough with Venus.
All right.
So the week wraps up on Sunday with a new moon solar eclipse at 0 degrees Gemini. For newbies, a solar eclipse is basically a new moon that is within 12 degrees of the moon's nodes, so that the Earth and the Sun and the Moon are sort of all along the same axis. We won't get more astronomical than that. But basically, when one of these lunations is conjunct the nodes, it has a much stronger impact on our lives and on the world at large, and tends to have longer lasting repercussions both within and without. So, Michelle, what's your perspective on this particular solar eclipse that we're coming up on?
Well, I think it's important to really, you mentioned that the eclipse is happening at 0 degrees Gemini, and that's important information for us. That 0 degree of any sign is very telling. There's a type of energy at the 0 degree, or the first degree of a sign, that is eager but a little naive. Okay, it's like the first horse out of the stall. There's this newness around it, so there's a sense that all things are possible, and it's quite lovely. But it's just ever so slightly naive, because we don't quite have our Gemini boots on yet. We're at 0 degrees. By the time we get to 5 degrees, we've got some experience with the Gemini energy, but we're like babies at zero. So there's, to me, I find that very evocative. And there's something about this eclipse, if it does in fact interact with your natal chart, listeners, there's something about it that introduces a whole new set of circumstances that you had not foreseen. Jeff, I'm not a believer that things literally come out of randomly come along and bite us in the butt. I do believe that they may be quietly seeded in the past, even though we may not be aware of it. So I don't think it's a matter of, hey, fate just comes and opens up a new opportunity for me. I think we prepared for those events unwittingly all along. But the eclipse fast-tracks everything. It brings a new situation or event along, and it may feel as though it's got a fated quality to it.
You don't think we're just puppets?
I don't want to think that we're puppets. I suppose in a universe where we're being told at quantum level that everything is possible, okay, I could go there, but I'm choosing to believe that we're not puppets and that our choices matter. Otherwise, I don't know really what I'm doing here.
Okay.
Doesn't offer me much hope.
So with this eclipse in Gemini, I'm thinking like some message coming to us, because you know,
sure.
Gemini, it's the ruled by Mercury, the messenger of the gods. Like some message comes to us that can profoundly alter, you know, the course of our lives or how we think about ourselves.
Yes.
And you're kind of saying there may be seeds of this in the past. It's not like kaboom, it's unrelated to anything ever. Like God just decides to throw a lightning bolt at you for no apparent reason.
Right, exactly. It's probably been quietly brewing under the radar, off your radar screen for some time, and now it sort of shows up. As in some cases, because this is a solar eclipse, it tends to be a new possibility or opportunity that opens up. And that's in contrast to lunar eclipses, which tend to close chapters on us. You talked about messages, and I'm thinking that Gemini is, you know, being ruled by Mercury. There's an association of birds with Gemini. So this may sound out there, but to those listeners that have an ability to communicate telepathically with animals such as birds, those people could really actually stay outside and pick up on the bird chatter, literally, if you've got that ability, because there may be messages for you.
You just veered off into the New Age channel of iTunes,
right.
Michelle.
But there are some of our listeners that can do such wondrous things. I'm not one of them, but animal communicators, they would be able to, in a Dr. Doolittle kind of way, pick up on a bit of chatter.
My dog only tells me he's hungry or he wants to go outside and poop.
Ah!
That's the only messages I get from him.
I hope something more interesting comes along for you on eclipse day. But we should mention that this eclipse will really have an impact on people who have planets in the very early degrees of Gemini. So let's say 0 to 3, maybe 0 to 5 degrees Gemini, we could push it, or 27 degrees of Taurus. So if you have sun, moon, or ascendant or another planet there, you may get a message, whether it's from Jeffrey's dog or one of the birds or from someone in your life or a brand new person.
Yeah. I'm sorry to poo-poo that. I need to be more open-minded. I mean, my wife talks to lizards, but I don't know if they talk back.
Oh, that's a very Scorpio. Lizard is a Scorpio type of animal.
She is a Scorpio.
There you go. There you go. So I'm telling you that it's been my personal experience that people that have a lot of Gemini energy seem to connect with birds, or they feel that a bird has come along and given them a message. So I put it out there. It's not that shocking. We all have telepathy with each other. There's no reason to think why some people can't take that gift and use it with animals. So I say I'm not one of them, but I would love to have that ability.
What would you like a bird to tell you?
That it will never
poop on your head?
Exactly. I was trying to find the... Yes.
Okay.
You have telepathy. You are reading my mind there.
Yes. Well, I'm an empath. That's a Pisces.
Okay. All right.
That's my gift to the world.
It's your gift. It's your curse.
Yeah, I'm too sensitive.
Yeah.
So, dear listeners, that wraps up another week of Astrology Rocks. If you would like to learn more about Michelle Suzanne's astrology services, you can visit her at starstruckastrology.org. If you would like to support Sistrology, you can purchase a personalized, computerized transit report that will outline how the planets, as they move from the sky, make angles to the planets in your natal chart and what that means. Just go to mytransits.com, enter your birth information. When you check out, use the coupon code SASSY718 for 10% off your report, which will then be emailed to you in PDF format. If you're a fan, please visit us in the iTunes Music Store and give us a rating and or review. And if you have any questions, tweet us at Sistrology and end your tweet with hashtag podcast so that I can identify it. Until then, enjoy eclipse season. Bye-bye.
Bye.